So we've been talking about karma, or action, and the effects of the different actions we do. Karma meaning intentional actions, things we do with a motivation, with an intention to do that. And this teaching on karma is one of the most important ones that the Buddha gave, because it's laying the groundwork for all further practice that we do. In other words, the basic first principle thing we have to do to start practicing the Dharma is get our ethical conduct together, which means get our daily life together. Okay? Ethics are not separate from our daily life. They just talk basically about how we relate to other people, how we relate to ourselves. Some people come into Buddhist practice, they don't want to hear about cause and effect. But the last thing they want to hear is about the 10 destructive actions. They want bliss and void. Yeah? Give me the highest class tantra initiation. I want bliss and void. I want to visualize myself as a deity. I want to play a drum and play a bell and chant in Tibetan in a big deep voice. And, you know, I want to look very holy and like a spiritual practitioner. But please don't tell me to watch how I talk to other people. You know? I don't want to hear that. So with that kind of attitude, there's no way we can get anywhere on the spiritual path. Because spirituality isn't something airy-fairy in the sky. It's basic, you know, feet-on-the-ground way of living with people. So, you know, for that reason, this is a really important teaching. And it'll make us look, you know, how we have been acting since the day we've been born. So, last time we did the three destructive actions that we do physically, you know, stealing, killing, and unwise sexual behavior. So now we're going to get to the four of speech. Okay, so we have lying and divisive speech, harsh speech, and idle talk. It's amazing that one small mouth can do so many things. Yeah. And as with the ones of the body, you know, they have four parts. We have the basis, okay, and then the motivation. And the motivation itself has three parts. Remember, the recognition of the object, the intention, and then the disturbing attitude. That is the actual motivation. Then the third branch was the action itself, and then the completion of the action. Okay? So if we have all of these things intact, then it's an A number one, super duper perfect negative action. If, you know, PhD negative action. If one of the branches is missing, then, you know, we just didn't do it so good. Okay? And so it's not a complete karma. Let's go back to lying, okay? Now, lying is classified under the destructive actions of speech, because we usually do it, you know, verbally, but it can be done physically. You know, we can make a gesture that tells something false with our hand or with our head or something like that, okay? Lying, I think we all know what it is. You know, it's basically denying something we know is true, and being very clear about that, and knowingly misleading others, knowingly giving them wrong information, you know, inventing things that are false in order to harm others. These are all included in lying. Okay, so the recognition, or the object, the basis that we do this in relationship to is another human being who can understand what we're saying in human language. So, I don't know, you know, I mean, it doesn't talk about lying to your dogs. I suppose you could lie to your pets, you know, tell them you're going to give them food and then they follow you to where you want to lock them up and then you don't give them food, except we usually give them food, so we usually don't lie. But, you know, usually lying is in relationship to other human beings. I suppose you can do it to an animal as well. And then in the second one, the second part about the motivation, okay, we have to recognize, okay, that what we're about to say is false, so that we know very clearly in our mind what we're saying is false. In other words, it's not accidentally saying something that we think is true and we find out later isn't, but it's actually knowing when we say it, recognizing when we say it that it's false. And then the second part of that second one is the intention, in other words, intending to lie, intending to deceive the other person. And then the motivation can be either attachment, anger, or ignorance. So if we lie out of attachment, it's we lie to get something for our own gain, our own benefit. Okay? Or if we lie out of anger, and we lie in order to harm somebody else. Okay? And lying out of ignorance is thinking that it's just perfectly okay to lie. You know, nothing wrong with lying. Everybody does it, so why shouldn't I? Hmm? Yeah. Well, we think that's unfair. Everybody else cheats on their taxes, why shouldn't I? Everybody else, you know, punches out the time clock, this, 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 why can't I? Yeah. Thinking there's nothing wrong with it. And then the action is lying, you know, telling something false, either fit, you know, usually verbally, also it can be through a gesture, or it can be writing, okay? And the serious kind of lying is lying about our spiritual attainment. And this is real serious because it's very, very harmful to other people if we claim to have spiritual realizations that we don't have, because then we can really mislead them. You know, because if we don't know what in the world we're talking about, and yet lie and proclaim ourselves to be some glorious teacher, and then other people in their naivete follow us, then it becomes very, very harmful for them. So that's the worst kind of lying, is lying about our spiritual attainment. It's also very harmful to lie to our spiritual teachers, or to the Sangha, to the Triple Gem, or lie to our parents, because these are very powerful objects. You know, in our teacher in the Triple Gem, you know, powerful in terms of their qualities, and our parents powerful in terms of what they've done for us. Yeah. Our parents are probably one of the chief ones we lie to. yeah. Especially when you're between the age of 12 and 20. Yeah. So, it's something to think about. And, it, you know, lying is definitely heavier if it costs somebody's life or if it, you know, really harms somebody in a very serious way. So, of course, you know, there's a real big difference between lying so that somebody gets killed and telling a little white lie. Of course, there's a difference in gradation there. But telling little white lies are included under lying, and so is knowingly exaggerating the facts of something. And this is real interesting, I mean, because for me anyway, it's made me look how very sloppy my speech is, and somehow I haven't managed to correct it, you know. Everybody really liked that. Everybody? Yeah? I can't do anything right. Anything? I mean, we really make these incredible black and white statements that are, in fact, exaggerations. You know, we say them to other people, we say them to ourselves. They're a form of lying, this kind of exaggeration. You know, you never listen to me. Well, you don't, do you? You see, I mean, it's definitely an exaggeration. So there's really a lot of things to be aware here, how we use words. And it really reflects often how we think. Yeah. It reflects how we think in these real categorical all or nothing, always and never, everybody and nobody ways. And then the conclusion of lying is that the other person hears us and they understand, okay, and they believe us. If they don't believe us, then it's not lying, it's just idle gossip. It's not quite as bad. But if they believe us, yeah, then we've done A number one perfect. Okay? We can see a lot of disadvantages just basically in this life of lying. One is why I always found it difficult to lie is because I could never remember what I had told to whom. So I would get all tangled up, you know, because you tell one story to one person, another to another, and then you can't remember, well, did I tell them this or did I tell that to them? Or how, you know, how to make it all fit together so that the lie holds together. So when we get involved in lying, it really creates a lot of anxiety in us because we have to keep track of the lie, you know, and where it is, and we have to put a lot of energy into continuing to lie to make sure that the other person continues to believe our lie. So it takes a lot of energy, and then there's this underlying anxiety that maybe they're going to find out that I'm lying, and then what do? Yeah. So it just makes a lot of problems for us right now. And you can see when people talk about anxiety and tension and pressure, a lot of it, if we look deeply, comes from this mind that likes to cover things up, that likes to lie. Then the next one, okay, is divisive speech. Or it's sometimes called slander. And this is the kind of talk that we use that makes other people not get along. Yeah. So it can be either telling people things that are true that makes them quarrel, or telling them things that are false that makes them quarrel, in which case it becomes not only divisive speech, but also lying. Okay. So the basis for this are either people who are friendly or people who have already quarreled. So in the case of people who are friendly, we use divisive words to make sure that they don't continue their friendship and that they go opposite ways. And for the people who are already at odds, we make sure they don't get reconciled. Okay, so this, you know, either of these kinds of people can be the basis. And then the recognition is recognizing the parties involved, you know, making sure that if we want to divide, you know, Jack and Jim, that it's them that we cause the schism between and not other people. The intention is to have an intention to destroy their relationship, to make them quarrel, to stir up trouble, to create division. Okay, and then the motivation behind it, that the disturbing attitude, again, can be any of the three. You know, we can use divisive words out of attachment. You know, for example, two people are really friendly. This often happens in romantic relationships, and you're attracted to one of them, so you want to say things so that they break up, so that you can have one of them for your partner. Okay, so that's out of attachment. Or divisive words out of anger. You know, we're angry at people, so, you know, let's say we're angry at a colleague, so we want to speak really bad about them to the boss. Okay, make the boss mad at them. And then in addition, if we want to get the promotion by doing this, then we're also motivated by attachment. Okay, attachment to getting the promotion ourselves. And then ignorance would be using divisive words and, again, thinking there's nothing wrong with it. It's perfectly okay, you know. It's for my benefit. Why is there any problem? And then also we quite often use divisive words with jealousy. Yeah? Two people are getting along quite well. We're jealous. We want to create schism because we can't stand their being happy. Yeah, jealousy is when we cannot endure other people being happy. So if they're happy together, and this can be either because they're a couple, or it's, you know, a boss and a colleague, or it can be our spouse and our child, or whoever it is, somehow we can't endure their being happy and getting along well together. So we have to do something to disrupt it. Yeah, motivated out of jealousy. And then the action can be done in a variety of ways. One way is just, you know, with both people there, and you just start, you know, stirring up trouble when they're both there and, you know, doing it, okay? Another way of doing it is a little bit more subtle. You go to each one individually. You know, I think you should know that. And really, you shouldn't trust him. You know, he says, and then you go, did you know what the, you know? So not doing it really up front so they have a chance to talk to each other, but creating schism and doubt and mistrust in people's relationship by talking to them individually. And then the completion of that is when they don't get along, you know, or if they already aren't getting along, then they are quite sure that they're very good at not getting along. In other words, we really made their schism quite quite powerful. And it's very strong, this one of divisive speech, if we use it between a, you know, a spiritual teacher and their student. Okay, so to divide a teacher and a student of a spiritual path is very heavy, because that's a very special relationship that's very beneficial. So, you know, you're impeding somebody's spiritual progress if you, you know, alienate them from their teacher. Or if you use it to divide a spiritual community, okay, creating schism and getting everybody all riled up and broken up into factions, so that a spiritual community, which is supposed to be harmonious and supportive of the members to practice, now becomes all divided and split into everybody's, you know, animosity towards that, you know, the other group. So that's really heavy too. Okay, then next one. Oh, the completion is that they hear you and they believe you and they decide not to get along. In other words, you got what you wanted. Yeah. And we got a lot of negative karma with it.